Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
So today we'll start a new sermon series called Marriage. We keep it simple around here. Okay? I know everyone's in a different place in Restoration Road. We're all in different seasons of life. Some of us have never been married. Some of us are married. Some of us are happily married. Some of us are frustrated in our marriage. Some of us have been through divorce. Some of us are remarried. Some of us are praying to be married. Some of us are hoping to be married. Some of us never want to get married. Right? There's many different people. So I want to be sensitive to everyone here, because whether you're married or not married, hoping to be married or have been married, there's much wisdom and grace in knowing God to be gained in any season of life you are in. So we're going to hit a few things. It's going to be a short sermon series over the next few weeks that's going to cover. Today we'll talk about communication. Next week we'll talk about physical intimacy. And please hear me say, I realize that I'm pretty shy, even though I get up here and preach. By nature, I'm a pretty shy guy. So let me tell you this, that's going to be preached with discretion and class. We're not going to be cavalier with it. We're not going to be not show prudence with it. We're going to discreet and holy and talk about it in a healthy way. We're going to talk about raising kids together when you're married. What does it look like to raise kids? We're also, the final week, we'll talk about the number one reason people argue in marriages, which is managing money. And so we'll talk about that the last week. But we're going to talk today about communicating well. The hope of the pastoral team is we hope that Restoration Road, this family, this church, this local church, that we have happy marriages, that we have holy marriages, we have loving marriages, and we have marriages that when people see our marriages, they don't see that they're perfect, but they see that they reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it tells us in marriage that a husband is supposed to treat his wife like Christ treats the church, and that a wife is supposed to treat her husband like Christ, like the church treats Christ. And that when we're communicating, when we're loving, when we're treating, when we're forgiving, when we're organizing our life to lift up, to love each other and communicate well, when people will look at our marriages and it will bring glory to God, because they will see the gospel and the way we interact with each other. So this is going to crack the surface. This is a small sermon series. We're not going to go deep into gender roles and all those kind of things in this series. It's more just cracking the surface of communicating well, some starting points, and in the future, we'll get in more in depth, because this is our first sermon series on marriage. So we're growing as a church, we're a young church, and we thought it would be helpful to tackle this in hopes of glorifying God in our marriages. When I first got married, it was roughly 15 years ago. Can you believe that? Crazy, I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't know. Me and Natalie were young. We got married. And I had, one thing you are when you get married young is naive. I had this misconception that she was going to understand everything I was thinking. She was going to know everything I wanted. She was going to cheer every decision I made. And she was going to let me leave the house whenever I wanted to. I went into marriage like, she knows my thoughts, communication is going to be easy. What I realized is, two sinners enter a marriage who've been living selfishly all their lives, who are inclined to be selfish, and the toughest thing to do when you're selfish is communicate, because you want everyone to bow down and know what you want and be ready for that. But we are not God, we are not omniscient and all-knowing. We don't know each other's thoughts. Even those of us think we're the most discerning and we know what people are thinking, we do not fully know. Some of us are more discerning than others, but we don't know each other's thoughts. We need to use words to communicate with each other. And so, guess what happened in our early years of marriage? A lot of arguing. A lot of raised voices, aka yelling. A lot of, I'm taking a ride around the lake. Who does the lake drive? Right? I'm like, you've gone past the point. I'll be at Lake Quanapowhat. Just driving. Waiting for the call. You ready to repent? As we argued, now we loved each other deeply. You know, there's a lot of people who love each other deeply that argue. Because if the gospel's not center, why wouldn't you argue? Because if life's ambition is to get your way, you argue about it. Right? But if the goal is to come to a God-glorifying and loving solution, you speak kindly to one another, you forgive one another, you're tender-hearted to one another. And something happened with me and Natalie was because we both made the gospel central to our marriage, we both had the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we both had faith in Jesus, we were convicted and said we shouldn't be communicating like this. This communication is not holy, it's not God-glorifying, and it's taking joy out of our marriage. And so we talk about it, we repent, and I tell you today, our communication after 15 years by the grace of God is far better. That doesn't mean you don't have your moments where you need to ask for forgiveness like we're talking about, or you're selfish, or you raise your voice when you shouldn't, or whatever, you say things that are hurtful. It means they are far less and it's far more holy and healthy. And I say that not to praise us. I say that to give hope to sinful marriages like mine where there's much arguing, where there can be communication that's holy and God-glorifying. Amen? And that can make us really happy. And guys, I want you to feel Restoration Road is a place where you can feel safe in your brokenness because we all know grace is bringing us to where we need to be. Amen? And so my hope today is I want to hit these three things. Communicating kindly, communicating forgiveness, and communicating with a tender heart. You notice we used Ephesians 4:32. It's right before the Holy Spirit specifically talks about marriage, but it captures the Christian spirit of communication in marriage, and that's why I wanted to use it. To being kind in marriage is huge. To be forgiving in marriage is vital. To be tender-hearted is crucial. And so let's start with communicating kindly in our marriages. I've been on a search to understand the definition of being kind over the last few years. If I came up and asked you what it means to be kind, would you have a working definition to give me? Now, we all know kindness, right, when we experience it, right? When someone's kind, we'll say, they were kind to us. That was kind, what they did. But oftentimes, you don't hear people defining what kindness is. And so in my search, I'm not fully there yet. It's still under investigation, but the best answer I've gotten so far is from a lady named Raina DiOrio. She's an author, she's a CEO, she's a developer, and she wrote a book on kindness. And she said, kindness is having the courage to treat others the way you want to be treated. Kindness is having the courage to treat others the way you want to be treated. And now, we all know when we say that person was kind, that makes sense. What we're really saying is that person treated me like I wanted to be treated. That person treated me like I should be treated. Those words were kind. The actions were kind. Because they love me like they would want to be loved. See, the goal of communicating kindly is not to be right. The goal of communicating kindly is not to be right, but come to a loving resolution that glorified God. See, usually when you get an argument, you want to be the decisional champ. You want to come out like, I was right. Go tell your mother, go tell your father. I was real right. If you go into a conversation, you're trying to be right, guess what's going to ensue? An argument. Because it's not kind to try to prove yourself right because something is rooted in pride there and pride never produces peace. This is something I'm prone to. I don't know if you are too. As you know, we recently went to Disney World. And of course, my daughter Kira, when we're on the walkway, she can't stay in the walkway. She's got to swing from a tree, run through a bush, dive in the grass, and try to pet a bunny. Like, we can't just walk. I got to be like, Kira, get out of the palm tree. Kira, stop hanging off that. Kira, don't kick the bunny. She won't kick a bunny. She loves bunnies. Supposed to be a joke. It didn't work. So she's in this bush. She runs through this bush, and I hear a scream. Ah! I got stung. We're saying, you didn't get stung. There's no bees in Florida. We don't really know that, but we say that just to calm the situation. There was no fact check on that. No bees in Florida. No idea, but we said it. Parents, you know you do it too. You say facts, you don't know it's true. You say, it's just thorns. It was thorns. She says, no, I can't breathe. It hurts. And I'm like, oh my goodness. She's screaming. So we bring her back to the room and we're trying to soothe her. She's calming down. We bring her back out. We think it's thorns because Natalie said, I saw a thorn. I go to the bush and I look at the bush and I see this peculiar thing. There's a thorn that looks like an insect. Not just like a New England insect. You can identify this thing and it has bland colors. An Amazonian insect that has 13 different fluorescent colors and horns with prickly things on them. It's a poisonous caterpillar. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Thank God I walked through the same bush and I got hit. So we're both hit by this poisonous rare caterpillar. I don't even know where I'm going with this right now. I do now. I find out, if anyone knows me, you know I'm on the investigation. You usually shouldn't go on Google when your child's sick because it will ruin your life. But I went on to find this caterpillar. I tracked down, it's a saddleback caterpillar that only exists in Alabama and Florida. Of course, the EMT is down. I'm ahead of them. They have never seen this caterpillar. I'm identifying and saying what region it live in by the time they got to us. We get the ointment. Everything's working out. But my concern as a parent is, what's going to happen to my daughter? Is she allergic to this, this, and that? After all gets settled down, we read up. It's going to go away. It's like a bee sting, even though she had a rash. Everything worked out. We're sitting in a hotel, and we have Kira set down. We're settled down. We're ready to go to Disney. Natalie starts reading the Google. Out loud, like scripture reading in a prayer meeting. And I say, Natalie, stop now. Stop now. No, this is helpful. When she got to the part that the pain could last up to 24 hours, guess what happened? Kira began to scream again in the hotel room that was way too small. Know what I did? I told you. I told you not to read that. You ruined everything. And I began to punish her by stepping outside the hotel room as the decisional champ and just looking out over the palm trees. Guess what that communication was not? Kind. It was, I'm right, if you listen to me, look what you did, you're not adequate, I'm smarter than you, deal with my punishment of waiting outside. Right? That's how you don't communicate kindly. What I had to do was say, Natalie, I'm sorry, because you know what, I could have did that. And when you're treating someone like you want to be treated, you realize that we're frail too, and we make the same mistakes, and at the heart, Natalie loves Kara just as much as me, and I have no right to express my pride in an angry way. I need to speak kindly, amen? And that's so important in communication. To speak words that praise our wives and encourage our husbands. Those kind words will lift a marriage to new heights of joy. And I want to ask you, is your marriage filled with kind words? Is your marriage filled with kind words? And so recently, I don't do this often, some of you are here, at the end of the service, so Natalie most week leads us in worship, Joe Gore leads the other time, but it's hard to serve. You see when you're in a marriage, your spouse serving and giving time and sacrificing. And I saw, it was a tough morning for Natalie, just balancing life and having come in and lead worship. So we prayed before and she led the song service and did it beautifully. And at the end, I felt like, I don't do this all the time, but I wanted to praise her for who she is and what she did. And I remember your response, just being around a husband praising his wife. You guys felt lifted. Our marriages were lifted. Our God was exalted. There was joy in the place because kind words were spoke about a husband to a wife. And it wasn't for our glory, it was for the glory of God. And when we speak kind words to each other, the gospel is reflected. See, when a husband demeans his wife, the gospel is not brought to light. Darkness is shed. But when a husband has wonderful words to speak about his wife, there's something in the air, amen? When wives praise their husbands, he has integrity, he has holy grit, he's committed. There's a beautiful aroma sent into the air and God is glorified. Restoration Road, let's be marriages and couples and husband and wife that speak kind words to each other. It's powerful to speak kindly to each other. I want to ask you to do this today as one of your pastors. I want you to speak kind words to your spouse today after church. If it happens during church, no one's judging you. Some of you, maybe it looks like going home and getting a card and writing kind words of encouragement to your husband or wife, because that's the best way you communicate. Some of you need to show an affection to your husband or wife that you haven't showed in a while, because that's the best way to be kind and communicate that. All of us, please, speak kind words to your husband and wife today. For those who are married. You might say, what do I say? What would you want to hear? What do I say? What would you want to hear from them? And that's what it means to be kind. Secondly, there's one constant in a marriage that you're going to have to forgive. Communicating forgiveness. Sinful creatures, selfish ambitions, thrown into an institution, right? Where you're called to be selfless and sacrifice all the time. There's a lot of tension when that happens. There's a lot of tension when that happens. That's where the arguments come from. That's where the silence sometimes comes from. And we need to forgive constantly, because selfish ambition is many times a beautiful motivation for sin. When I express my emotions to the detriment of my spouse, we sin. When we do that, we sin. This is why God very clearly says we will give an account for every word that we speak. So we must be careful with the words that we speak. Actually, in preparing the sermon, I thought about most ways we sin, not always, but most ways we sin against our husband or wife is with our words. Whether they're angry words, whether they're lying words, whether they're demeaning words, whether they're ungrateful words or hurtful words. This because our words are reflections of our hearts, and we will speak what's in our hearts. So when you say, I didn't really mean that when you said that, 9 out of 10 times, that's not true. You meant, and we meant what we said, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that's not always the case, but it mostly is. Therefore, because we are sinners, we're going to say words we shouldn't say. And because of that, we need the grace of God to forgive each other when we say things we should not say. Amen? That's so important. Forgiveness is one of the most important things in marriage, is to apologize and repent. See, in our communication, the sinful thing is to want to get the last word. Does anyone know about the infamous last word? Like, you're not getting the last word. I don't know. This is hidden in culture since the beginning of time, that you've got to get the last word or your head will blow off your body. In a Christ-exalting marriage, forgiveness is always the last word. And this is totally contrary to our nature. It's not natural. It's natural to get the last word. It's supernatural to let forgiveness have the last word and forgive our husband, our wife, our spouses. You know, because what we want to do, at least I'll speak from my experience, when my wife, I believe, does me wrong or sins against me, I want her to make her pay for it. Right? That's a sinful thing to do. Whether it's with silence, whether it's not reconciling, you're going to pay for what you did. I'm not talking to you for a while. You're going to pay for what you did. I'm taking a ride by the lake. Are you going to pay for what you did? I'm not going to be as kind to you. See, that is totally anti-gospel. Because Jesus paid for all of our sins, so we don't have to make our spouse pay for their sins. Do you guys see the gospel there? I have no right. I'm taking away the power of the cross if I'm trying to make my spouse pay for their sins. I'm taking away the power of the cross. I'm not trusting grace. I'm walking in legalism. I'm walking in a pharisaical way saying, you're going to pay for your sins. And then when I feel you've paid for those sins, then maybe I'll reconcile with you. When I'm silent enough or angry enough or disconnected enough or separate enough. See, the cross of Christ allows us to forgive our spouses relatively immediately. This is not easy, and I'm speaking from personal experience. Natalie forgives a lot quicker than I do. I say, no, I'm not ready yet. You ever given those? The I'm not ready yet on the couch, aka, I'm making you pay. See, the beauty of the gospel is, I can say that Christ has not dealt with me in that manner. He has not dealt with me in that manner. He has not dealt with us in that manner. He is not distant and does not make us pay for our sin. Rather, he paid for our sin on the cross. Therefore, I can forgive and love my spouse. This is transformative. This is revolutionary. This will bring a happy and joyful marriage. Amen? Some of you might say, they don't deserve forgiveness. I agree with you 110%. I'm not arguing. They don't. We don't. That's why it's grace. It's undeserved, and it's based on the cross of Christ. We don't deserve forgiveness. And the scripture says, be kind to one another, forgiven one another, tender-hearted as God through Christ forgave you. And the only way to have a forgiven marriage is to allow the forgiveness that flows to you to flow to your spouse. I don't forgive Natalie, and Natalie doesn't forgive me because we deserve it, because we don't. We forgive each other because Christ has forgiven us. Amen? That's so important. Some of us have not forgiven our spouses for years, whether major or minor things. I interact with couples all the time as a pastor, and I hear little digs they give each other, where it would be my speculation that they're things they haven't forgiven each other of, whether major or minor, for 5 to 10 to 20 years. And you might ask yourself, how long? It's too long where I'm holding it and not forgiving my spouse. If you haven't forgiven your spouse of something yesterday, that's too long. Never let the day go down. Never let the sun set on your anger without forgiving your spouse, because the enemy's workshop is in unforgiving hearts. Quick to forgive. You know, there's an opposite side of this where we don't talk about things in our marriage we should be talking about. You know, I heard, I was reading a book, I'm telling you guys, I just finished it. It's called 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson. And there's like helpful psychological stories in it. I like that. I don't agree with everything in the book, but I like some of the stories in it. And he talks about this kid's book named There Is No Dragon. The name of it is There Is No Dragon. And in this story, in this kid's book, what happens is this young boy goes in his room one day and he sees a dragon on his bed about the size of a cat. And he goes out to his mother and says, Mom, there's a dragon on the bed. And his mom says, no, there isn't. There is no dragon. He said, Mom, there's a dragon on the bed. She says, there is no dragon. The days went by, and he would bring cookies into the room. The dragon was growing. He would eat the cookies and get bigger. And he would go out and say, Mom, there's a dragon in my room. She said, there's no dragon in this house. There's no dragon in this house. And the days went by, and the dragon got bigger and bigger. And the mom would just vacuum around the dragon. It began to fill the whole house, and she'd vacuum around the dragon. And the son would say, there's a dragon in this house. Mom said, there's no dragon in this house. Then one day, the husband came home, and his house was not there anymore, because the dragon had got so big that it carried to the top, all the way, the house to the top of the dragon where the mom and the son were. And the husband says, where's my house? And the mailman said, the dragon took it away. And he climbed the dragon. He went to the top of the dragon, and for the first time, with that huge dragon, they looked at each other and said, there's a dragon. And just the recognition of this dragon, the dragon began to shrink. And as they talked about the dragon that existed in the house, he began to shrink and he began to shrink and he began to shrink until the dragon was no more and they had a happy home. The point of that story is there's things in our marriage that we have not talked about, that we need to talk about, metaphorical dragons that will destroy our houses and our marriages if we don't bring them to the light and offer forgiveness. Amen? Don't say there's no dragon. Say there is a dragon, but Christ has defeated him, and offer forgiveness freely, and your marriage will be so joyful. It will be so joyful. Just a little fun fact, because this will happen in communication, and this is a side note. But many times in a marriage, you will have one person that wants to talk deep and one person that wants to talk shallow. Okay, that was a pretty, I thought that was a cool story, did you? I just read that story. Natalie came on the bed. I tell her that story. You know me, I'm solving the mysteries of the world. Thursday night, I just solved it, Natalie. I tell that whole story. It's deep. She looks at me. She's pondering. I said, okay, she likes it. Story's deep. She looks. She says, I think I want to go to Target. Listen. Oftentimes in your marriage, you get one person deep and one who's sometimes shallow. You need that. You're too shallow, you just talk about the weather. You're too deep, you're just depressed sitting on the ocean in a snowsuit. You know what I'm saying? God does that sometimes. That's okay. Side note. And finally, to be tender-hearted. In this verse, to be tender-hearted is so important because I can't forgive my spouse. We can't forgive our spouses if we're not tender-hearted. So the question becomes, how do I become tender-hearted like this verse says so I can be kind and offer forgiveness? I was reading the psalm that Nancy read today. It was Psalm 29 where it talks about the voice of the Lord, right? It says, the voice of the Lord thunders and is powerful. It is full of majesty. It breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. Makes animals leap and give birth. Flashes forth like a flame of fire. Shakes the wilderness, strips the forest bare. That's what God's saying about his voice. It breaks the cedar of Lebanon. It's like thunder. It's like powerful. Now, as I began to ponder that, I was preparing the sermon this week. I thought all those things are... Like when they say cedars of Lebanon, that's like something that's unbreakable when you hear that in scripture. But even those strong things, they're not as hard as a human heart. Or is not as hard as a human heart can get. We all know when we let bitterness and unforgiveness reign, that hard heart, it can get so stone that we scare ourselves and realize we're making ourselves numb to love. And when that happens in a marriage, when it gets harder and harder, that's when the enemy gets in. So what we need to do is keep it tender. We need the voice of the Lord spoken the scriptures into our heart to keep a tender heart. This is why the word of God is so important, to hear the word of God. How many times have I forgiven Natalie, and I'm sure she's forgiven me? I almost didn't want to go to the scriptures that time because I knew what the scriptures were going to tell me. They were going to tell me to forgive, and I don't want to forgive. Have you felt that? That's why many people I'll talk about this week, they stay out of church sometimes. Because they don't want to hear those words. Because they know they'll melt and break under those words. And at that time, they're living in deception, that what they're living in is more valuable than God. And I say that in a loving way. Because we know when Christ lives inside of us and we come to his house, or we're around his people, or we're reading his words, that those words hit us and they break our hearts and they melt our hearts and they make us tender. And sometimes we won't want to be tender in a cruel world or even a tough marriage, but we need to be tender and soft so we can be kind and forgive and exalt Christ. Amen? So important to allow those words to hit us in marriage so that we love and have tender hearts and forgive and are kind. And I'll say this in conclusion. God's kindness always leads us to repentance and forgiveness. That's what the scriptures tell us. Not our harsh words, not us proving ourselves right. It says God's kindness, everyone here, his kindness to us above all has led us to him. It's his kindness. In the most kind communication we ever saw or was ever experienced in all the cosmos is the cross of our Savior King Jesus. When you look at the cross of Christ, Jesus did not say there's no dragons. He actually says there is a dragon, Satan, that I need to overcome. He didn't say there was no sin. He said there are and is sin. But I'm going to deal with it because I love you. The kindest communication of the cross, so tender-hearted, so forgiving, treating us with perfect love and kindly communicating to us. The great husband Jesus kindly communicating to the great bride, his church, that I love you, I forgive you, and I want to be with you. Do you guys hear that? It's a beautiful pattern for marriage. I love you, I forgive you, and I want to be with you. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.